Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, our guest is Casey Allison. She's an expert in supporting mothers through betrayal trauma. Casey, a mother of nine, shares her personal journey of navigating betrayal in her marriage and its impact on her family. She emphasizes the importance of healing for both mothers and their children, and the need for safety, support, and faith during these challenging times. Casey's candid reflections on anger, authenticity, and revisiting her faith offer valuable insights and encouragement. She invites listeners to engage support, reminding us that healing is possible through faith and connection. To learn more about Casey and her coaching resources, visit comeawakecoach.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we would love it if you would rate and review the program afterwards to help others find this amazing content. Now let's dive into today's hopeful and encouraging conversation with Casey. Well, all right. We have Casey Allison here on the program today. So welcome, Casey.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Yeah. So I want to dive right in because when our wives care director had made the connection between you and me, and we have this little sort of invitational form to sign up to be a guest on our program, we ask for, you know, what would be a topic that you'd be interested in talking about? And the first thing you put was mothering through betrayal. So before we get to that specific topic, can you give us a little bit of your own backstory and maybe how you've gotten into doing the work that you're doing today with wives who are facing betrayal trauma?
Yeah. So mothering from betrayal is so dear and near to my heart because I have nine children and I have a very wide range of children now. I have an 18-year-old and then my youngest is three. And my 18-year-old has been experiencing some form of the betrayal or the problematic sexual behavior from her parents her entire life. And it's very, very wonderful to see how the Lord can carry our children through the effects of betrayal trauma and problematic sexual behavior of the parent. And it's also very sobering to see that there are effects, and it is so important to take it seriously. So for my story, what has gone on has been this growth over time, this slow maturation, slow intake of information on how can I help walk my children through it. And as I'm sure any mother would tell you, the number one theme in my story is that I can only take my children as far as I have gone. So they have been a motivation for me to heal. When I felt in a desert time with the Lord, they were my motivation to run after Him. So over two decades of betrayal, trying to do recovery, trying to save our marriage, all of those things, I've had this extra, right? This extra burden, this extra challenge of mothering. And the Lord was there, and despite how difficult it was, despite how confusing and disorienting it was, to know how to support my children.
Yeah. So how did that lead? We'll get into a little bit more details. How did that lead eventually to working as a coach and working with other wives in this area?
Yes. So we were missionaries for a decade in Cambodia, and my heart's always been one for evangelization. And what I found is in my own betrayal, I didn't have that heart to evangelize other women, right, who were experiencing the betrayal. It was so painful to know someone else was experiencing a pain similar to mine. Someone else was trying to mother their children through this. It was really heartbreaking and challenging. And as is so often true with the Lord, I said, please, Lord, whatever, I will do whatever, but I don't want to work in this field. I don't want to hear about this every day. Well, when it became apparent that we needed more support than we could get in our little village in Cambodia, and we decided to finish out our 10-year term and go home back to the States, I was finally able to get the help that I needed. I just had to surrender because I was so broken. And it was in getting qualified help, people who truly understood what I was going through, that I found so much healing. And it blew me away to know that there were people who could support women like me. And so my heart softened to the Lord. And after about 5 years, I gave in to that prompting by the Holy Spirit to get my coaching certification, to get my APSATs and betrayed families training, all of those things, so that I could be that person for someone else, like my support had been for me.
Yeah. And how did that kind of dovetail into this specific kind of what we're talking about today, care for mothers who are also going through this betrayal trauma? Because I want to talk a little bit about the uniqueness of both. Can we talk about the uniqueness of just being a mom and the challenges that are there? I mean, that's a hard profession already. And then the uniquenesses and the challenges of having to face betrayal trauma. And then what does it look like to have to put those things together? I mean, that's just seemingly impossible to bear that.
It is. Without the Lord, it truly is. And thank goodness for him. So I would say mothering brings out all of your rough edges. It touches on all your deep pains and all of the deficits you have. And it's painfully wonderful. I think it is a refinement, right? It causes you to trust in the Lord in ways you've never trusted before. It is an awesome responsibility. It is a fearful responsibility in some ways, as you look at these people and you are so responsible for them. You hold so much weight and influence in their life. And the honor goes right along with the inability, right? The joy goes right along with the, how do I do this? How do I do this? I didn't get a manual in the hospital on how to raise kids. And when I tried to find lots of information because I wanted to do the best that I could, there's lots of conflicting opinions. And for those of us who didn't grow up in a home we want to replicate in our own family, it is overwhelming to make those decisions. And I would say it's very similar with betrayal. There are so many opinions out there on how to manage betrayal, what betrayal is, if it's even a thing, if it's a valid pain even. And so just that sense of being disoriented, where do I go for help? Who do I trust? And how do I know if what I'm doing is right? Those two things felt, and maybe still feel in some ways, very similar to me. I have to, in the end, take a leap of faith. And then another important part of those two things I would say is it takes a village. It takes a village to mother, and it takes a village to heal from betrayal. And that's a good thing. We lived in a village in Cambodia, and I was so afraid of my neighbors at first. I thought, they're the ones who are going to rob us. They're the ones who are going to cheat us. And you know what? those people literally saved our lives. One night we had a fire broke out in our backyard in between us and the river. We had a grass roof and they were hollering at our window to wake us up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they were our safety. They were our support. They were our friends. We did life together. And I think everyone needs a village of support to mother, and everyone needs a village of support to heal from betrayal.
So let's talk about when these two streams converge. When discovery and disclosure happens around a sexual betrayal in the marriage, and you've got responsibilities with children and you're a mother, first of all, what does that feel like when that horrible news comes to your realization that the deepest trust that you've had with your, you know, one flesh partner has been broken, and you're feeling the weight of that and the daily responsibilities of having to be a mom?
I'm sure, I know that everyone's story is different. So for me, the first discovery day was when I was pregnant with my first child, and the loneliness that I felt, and then the subsequent discoveries and the subsequent children, the loneliness that I felt in motherhood was compounded. Being a stay-at-home mom and homeschooling, I already struggled some with the loneliness, but when that person who I depended on for friendship, for partnership and raising our family, when I did not know if I could trust him anymore, it was a dark loneliness. And I would say the weight of the responsibility, whether it was accurate or not, the weight of the responsibility of the children felt solely on my shoulders in that moment. And that is a weight no one can bear.
Well, and I have to imagine, and you can totally correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that, you know, when you discover the trauma of betrayal, or when that hits you, when you feel that, I would imagine your heart immediately goes to, I need and crave safety. And how can that not also then extend to how you feel about your children? So I can imagine how there could be a compounding feeling of responsibility for their safety, even if that may not be they may not be in any real danger from their father, right? But just a sense in which your heart is sort of wired that way as a mom to mm-hmm. say, if I'm in danger, I'm going to feel like my children are in danger. Can you talk a little bit about that? Just the safety issue.
Yeah. What I noticed with my clients and I saw in myself is that I actually didn't feel concerned about my children's safety initially. I felt concerned about their upbringing. How is this going to work out to raise kids for the Lord? But I didn't worry about their emotional safety. My husband was a very kind, gentle man, and loved our children and loves our children dearly. So for me, at least, I wasn't so concerned about their safety initially, which almost made me feel lonelier because I wasn't going through it. You know, I was the only one. I felt like the problem. But and this is such a tender topic. So anyone listening, please guard your heart as you think about this. But what I have learned from my adult children now and from the research we have on adult children of sex and porn addicts is that there are effects. There is an impact on safety, whether it's that picking up of the emotional undercurrent in the home or the attitudes and belief of an addicted parent or the absolute neglect, and this is tender for mothers, the neglect of a mother who is depressed or struggling and not able to be there in the necessary way for their children. The children are very impacted. And that's why I'm very passionate about families taking this seriously, because we're not talking about just the person with problematic sexual behavior or just the person with betrayal trauma being hurt and harmed and needing healing. The whole family needs healing. And that is possible. And the flip side is that families, just like couples who go through a healing process, can be closer and more intimate and more authentic and safer than they ever were before. And that is some serious hope that we can hold on to, that redemption that God can do in our families.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. I want to focus primarily on the mother, wife, and the children. There are certainly needs that are present in the betrayer, but for our sake of our conversation, what are some of those key needs that the wife and the mother that's dealing with the betrayal trauma has? And then what are some of those key needs that the children have as the wife and mother is going through some healing for her own, you know, betrayal?
Yeah. Yeah. So what I wish someone had told me is go down to bare minimum, because healing, the needs that we have in healing as a betrayed partner, are vast. And when we are trying to manage so many different things and create time for healing and for our children, right, there isn't enough time in the day if we're trying to work a full load, this ideal mothering that we're trying to do, making sourdough from scratch, whatever it is, right? Not that there shouldn't be good things in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But I would say that a big need for everyone involved is to trim down to the bare minimum. Circle those horses and focus on your healing and on your family. And secondly, the need, as you mentioned before, safety. You can't heal from betrayal if you're not safe. And so learning how to implement those healthy boundaries that create safety for you emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, so that you can heal, right? We use this analogy is so overused, but the idea of the oxygen mask, right? We must put that oxygen mask on. And how we do that is boundaries and getting the support that we need. So that's that third need, getting that real valuable peer support, professional support, and spiritual support. We need it. We deserve it. And God offers that to us. It's out there. And when I flip to thinking about the kids, they need the same thing, in that they need their basic routine and their basic needs met, if at all possible. But sometimes as a betrayed mom, I couldn't do that. And that's where we can contract out. That's where that village, right, is so important. If I couldn't read stories to my kids, and we did this, I had somebody Skype in, back in the days of Skype in and read my kids' stories. I set that up. I put them on online homeschool because I just didn't have the capacity. So really leaning into that support that you have to find creative ways where you can contract out your kids' needs so that their needs are getting met and your needs are getting met. So everybody is taken care of. I would say also learning to accept our emotions and teaching our kids to accept their emotions. I know I got really angry. The heat was brutal in Cambodia for a long time. We didn't have electricity, and that combined with betrayal,
oh man,
looked a lot like rage for me. And yeah, one small thing would just send me over the edge, and I cringe thinking at the volume I used with my children. But for all the moms who have yelled at their kids, who know that they have unintentionally or just out of a lack of capacity not been able to be there for their kids, I just want you to know how much hope there is and how much redemption there is, and that God can heal any wound, and He loves our children more than we do. And there's so much hope in that. So anyway, it looked like rage. And I would say if I had taken the time to create some safety, I wouldn't have struggled so much with that rage, but I just wanted to push through. I wanted to hope that things would be better and that I didn't have to do a lot of work to heal. And that wasn't the case. And that ended up creating more needs in my kids. Mm-hmm. So when we take care of ourselves, our kids are going to have less additional needs because of the betrayal. And then lastly, once there's some stability, doing a family disclosure, professionally supported family disclosure, was one of the most wonderful things I did for my children. My older child, two children, actually helped me write a book for kids going through family disclosure. And they said, I asked them, why, honey, did you want to help me do this? Why was this on your heart? And she said, I wish I would have had it, because I wouldn't have told myself the stories that I told myself if I had had some kind of filter to understand what was going on. And so everything in that book were things that they had thought, the stories they had told themselves, that once we did that family disclosure, they were able to correct and heal from. And that was huge in their life.
So as you're going through all of this, you know, obviously, I tell people all the time, none of us do life perfectly. So even when we start to recognize, hey, there's a problem here. Oh my goodness, I got this horrible news and we got to deal with this, but I've got kids and I've got to do all these. Can you talk about what does it look like to have the kind of communication with your kids that lets them know maybe why we're going to sort of minimalism for a while? How do you share and what do you share and when do you share? Because you mentioned about, it sounds like the full family's disclosure has to come after there's a little bit of just sort of logistical stability. Can you talk about what kinds of things are really helpful to communicate to your kids as you're just trying to get your bearings of dealing with the betrayal trauma?
That's such a good question, an important one. I love using analogies with my kids. So just being able to say, you know what? I realized that my cup, my ability to function, my cup is full and it's overflowing and I'm not able to enjoy my drink because it's constantly overflowing and spilling on me. And that just makes me frustrated. And God didn't make us to live in that way where we're constantly burning ourselves with our hot coffee. So what I'm trying to do by minimizing is I'm trying to get my cup to a place where I can enjoy it. Because you know what, sweetheart, you are my priority. You are my job. And I want to create a life of joy and peace and happiness for you. And I see that I have so much in my cup. I'm not doing that well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lessen what I'm doing so that I have more time with you. And some of the things that One of the things I did later, I didn't do this well, and I loved that you mentioned that nobody does life perfectly, because I think everything good that I do in my mothering has come from just a litany of mistakes that I've made. And
that's how we learn.
It is. You know? Yeah. It is. And we must have grace and mercy with ourselves, right? Because otherwise we'll crush our spirits. So anyway, I learned to ask my kids, what's one thing? If I take off these things, what's one thing you and I can do to connect? What would it be for you? And it's amazing what they will come up with. One of my kids is just a hugger. And he said, I just want 10 more hugs a day. That's what I want, Mom. And I said, you got it. That's it. That doesn't overflow my cup at all. We're in and do it. So making sure we don't make promises we can't keep, right? Being really realistic with that, but finding ways that are really personal to each child to connect with them. If we're going to minimize, we need to bring in more connection.
Yeah. As you're going through this process, and of course it's all upside down, backwards, sideways. I mean, it's all over the place. What does it look like to cling to your faith during this time? Because all of us that have been through life-shattering experiences emotionally, it can really send our faith into either a tailspin or confusion or doubts or anger. Or what did that look like for you? And how do you invite women and mothers to navigate that part of their journey as they are struggling with all the doubts and fears and anger and just emotions of betrayal?
Someone once told me that God created our emotions before the fall. And that was profound to me. And it went a long way in helping me accept that God's not afraid of my emotions. He's not afraid of my sadness. He's not afraid of my anger. He's not afraid of my doubt. And I think for us moms, for us to demonstrate, I'm going to back that up. Clinging to Jesus for me looked like allowing my kids to see my emotions and see me turn them over to Christ in a very everyday way. You know, I burned myself on our stove all the time because it exploded a lot. And so I would sometimes get that hot pad and just bang it on the counter. And there, inevitably, there was some little one right there looking at me. And I would be like, I am so mad. I am going to go on a walk and talk to Jesus right now because I am angry. And you know what? He knows what it's like to be angry and he can handle my anger. Whenever you're angry, you let me know. I'll go on a walk with you and we'll talk with Jesus. I'll be right back, honey. Right? Live it out and allow my kids to see what real life is like. We do not have to hide and try to portray sainthood, right? Try to portray this insane amount of holiness. We want to teach our kids, and what better way to teach them than when we're struggling? As far as clinging to our faith, clinging to my faith, it looked a lot like revisiting theology that I had that didn't hold up in the face of betrayal. I found so many holes in my theology and trying to find the courage to investigate that and ask the Lord, what have I missed? Where have I turned off and missed what you had for me in this theology that would have carried me through? And that's a really scary thing to do as a person. And it's really scary when you have 9 people counting on you to tell them the truth. So I would say that trusting that no matter where I ended up theologically, no matter how much I struggled emotionally, that God was still going to be there for me and for my kids. And that's why I named my business Come Awake. There's a verse in the Bible that says, and when I wake up, when I come awake, you're still there. Mm-hmm. And that has been true for me over and over and over again throughout this journey.
That's good. Well, as we start to kind of land the plan on this conversation, I want you to speak to the moms out there that are somewhere in their journey with dealing with the betrayal trauma. And just what word of hope and encouragement would you want to give to those moms out there that are feeling everything that you just described in this conversation, all the ups, the downs, the sideways, the confusion, just all of that? What would you want to give them as a message of hope today?
The kind of empathy that we learn in betrayal for our spouses, for ourself, that deep, rich compassion that God can give us can go so far because we can extend that compassion that he gives us in the midst of our struggles to our kids. And that is a hope that's that peace that passes all understanding. And what that can look like for us is apologizing to our kids. I was scared to apologize. I wondered like how it would affect them. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know what? I wasn't there when you needed for me. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was crying in my room when your toy broke, when you wanted to tell me that thing that you found, and grieving with them. Because I think it's in the grief of what's lost that the connection that we have with our kids can grow and deepen. I never would have thought my children would have turned out the way that they did. I knew I had ruined them. I was certain. And what God's actually done through my weakness, through my suffering, has been to create people more beautiful than I could ever have imagined my children being, with hearts so authentic and courageous and on fire for Him. And if He could have done, if He did that with as badly as I handled this, as long and as much as I struggled, I have absolutely no doubt He will do it for you and for your children.
Yeah, that's so good. Casey, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about what you offer?
Sure. You can visit comeawakecoach.org to find all that I have. And just know my prayers are with each and every mom. I pray for mothers being betrayed every day. And may God's peace and blessing rest on you.
That's great. Well, this has been great, Casey. Thanks again for being with us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put Casey's information in the show notes, so be able to be certain to check that out. And we want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.